Yeah, go ahead and start the hearing, Marisol.
Good morning. This is the BOE hearing. Today is Wednesday, July 24, 2024. The hearing is for petition E-208-23. The appellant is Charles Barnett, parcel number 1-0697-200-0017-000. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove the valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. Raise your right hand. Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes. Yes, I so affirm.
Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all the evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair?
Yes, this is a commercial appeal. We usually allow an hour for these things. For the first 20 minutes or so, we'd like to hear from the appellant. Then we'll hear from the assessor, and we'll have some questions back and forth along the way. And then we will adjourn and we will deliberate. So, and as Marisol said, you'll receive a decision letter within 4 weeks. So with that, you may proceed.
I would like to know when the notice of this hearing was sent out and to what address was it sent to, because I did not receive it.
Okay, well, Marisol can speak to that.
I only received the email reminder on July 17th that was emailed to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the reminder only. I know there's normally a notice of hearing that comes out usually a couple of months in advance.
Correct. The hearing of notice was sent on February 14th.
What address?
Oh, it was sent electronically to your CHAS. BARNETT@hotmail.com email.
Okay. Never received it.
Okay. And so you do not have the assessor's response either then, is that correct?
No, that was mailed to me through a physical envelope and sent to me at my home address.
Okay, so you have that. Okay, yes, good.
I do have that.
Okay, well, why don't you go ahead and make your presentation.
Okay, without all the other stuff, I wasn't able to, it's normally 5 copies to send it 21 days prior, you know, it's what I've had in other hearings. And I presume that is the same thing. Well, I've had other evidence and photos, but all I've got those with me. If we had a physical meeting here, it'd make it a lot easier. But is there a way of that you can see the photos I have with me? Can that?
Well, are they different from the photos that are in the assessor's package?
Yes. Oh yes. Oh yes.
Well, we can't actually accept new evidence at this point. I mean, you can speak to the photos, basically tell us describe what they show.
Where is these other people? Are they in this building or what's the deal? Why aren't we all right here? It's always been.
Well, the assessors are in the administration office in Kennewick and Chuck and I are in our homes.
So. Okay. Okay.
Oh, and Peter. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Peter. Okay. Okay. There's Peter. And then who's Mark? Oh, that's
he's the assessor.
That's the guy that put this thing together. Okay.
It's me.
So Well, go ahead and speak to your case. What?
Okay.
Why do you believe your property is worth what you said it was?
Okay. Well, I've got photos here, but and I wish you could see these. You can see these power lines, and it is directly the subject property is directly underneath the power lines.
Mm-hmm.
The power lines have an easement of 50 feet each side of center line. The property in question is only 75 feet wide. So this goes beyond the property lines, 12 and a half feet each side. So the property that's in question is completely underneath Bonneville's high voltage power lines.
Okay, now, so it's under an easement then, right?
Yeah. Completely underneath it. Also, by the other photos I have, there is, let's see, there's 1, 2, 3 6-inch conduits that go from the substation on the other side of the road through the property, go down, and they go up the poles for transmitting the voltage of the power that goes into all of Benton City and going out the other side, going out to the rural area. Then there's another 4-inch conduit that supports the internet service, which is a high speed, what do they call that? Fiber optic. Fiber. It's a fiber optic cable, and that runs through the property also underground. So you got 3 6-inch conduits. I mean, these are large conduits with very large baloney going through them that supplies the power to all of Benton City.
Okay.
It's underneath the property. Plus, you have the overhead lines for the Benton PUD also runs over the corner of that property. And then you also have Bonneville's that runs right through the center. And these are fairly large. I think they're 225 kilovolt property lines. And that easement is such that no buildings can be built on it. Trees cannot be planted on it. Fuel, any power, fuel that could be burned cannot be stored on it. I cannot store my tractor underneath it because it has 50 gallons of diesel and about 125 gallons of hydraulic fluid underneath it because it's a flammable source. So I cannot store anything there. I cannot build anything there on the property.
The grounds.
How would before this all happened, you indicated that the Benton County PUD said that you needed to sell them the property or else they would take it by eminent domain. Yeah. So how were you using the property before that time?
I was using it as pasture.
Pasture. Okay.
I was using it as pasture, and it was for livestock and just pasture, in which after I sold it, I put it into open space, and then all that property right there, the adjacent property is all in open space.
Okay.
And
so you're not really using it then for agriculture.
I'm using it for pasture. Oh yeah. It's irrigated pasture.
The surrounding.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
This piece is, and on the second part of it, I'm talking about the easements that's going through it. But the second part of the whole thing is this was a substation.
Right.
And when they put it in, they need very good grounding in order because this had 6 lightning rods above it when that was a substation in that area. So that is completely crisscrossed with copper wires. And when they put that in, they salted it. Because salt conducts electricity better and makes a better ground system.
Mm-hmm.
That ground was salted with copper wires through it. And I've got pictures of these wires and how they connect up to the posts. Wires.
If you look at the assessor's package on page 1, they have a picture of the property.
Yeah.
And it does show the 2 poles that you were describing, the 2 power poles.
It doesn't show the 2 poles. As you can see right here. these poles. They didn't show any of these overhead wires in that picture.
Well, I can accept the fact that that was a substation and that there are overhead wires and that there isn't
any way to. Where's the camera at on this thing? Is it?
It's up way up by the TV, but I don't know that the resolution or that.
Let's see what it looks like.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we see it.
Does that give you a little bit of an idea of the size of those poles and what's over the top of that property?
Yeah. Yes.
That's,
well, we do see the two poles in the assessor's picture. So
yeah.
Now you just gave us a little bit further above ground picture. Yeah.
Well, no, those the two poles that you see for a tailed hawk. It's got a nest on the top.
Right. I think we can accept that. So
that's what you're seeing right here. Matter of fact, the hawk is perched above on that nest.
Right.
And the other pole is one of Benton PUD's pole. These are not the poles for Bonneville. The poles for Bonneville are five times bigger. You know, I mean, it's huge.
Okay.
And
okay.
Large power lines over the top.
And this ground is sterile.
Right.
The reason we bought it back is because it's a part of our property. I mean,
well,
yeah.
It's our irrigation system. It disrupts our water and our flow to irrigate the property around it. So a lot of that property all around this dies because it's too hard to get the water and around that fence and that sterile area. And I have to keep it fenced off until I can put livestock on it because it's so loaded with chemicals.
Right.
I'm trying to do organic beef.
Okay.
And I can't have them on that for a minimum of 5 to 8 years.
Okay.
Because of how the ground has been treated.
Okay. Now, from what I saw, you actually sold the property in 74 for $10. Is that correct?
No, I sold it for about 163. Back in those days, that's what they always did in the old property deals.
They just said $10,
just so you didn't know what it was for taxation. That's how it was in the olden days. But
okay.
Yeah.
Now, so you had to buy it back
back, and that was the purchase price, in which I paid quite a bit higher. See, the Benton PUD couldn't sell that back to me without going to a open public sale and to do private sale. They had to make sure it was above the normal values. And also another big part of this driving factor why I paid the higher price was for continuity and ease for myself. But the PUD, because they're a public agency, to sell it to me on what its real value would have looked so bad in their books, you know.
Right.
And they're wanting to sell it to me because I'm the guy they bought it from, you know.
Right.
50 well, years ago.
Now you did a calculation where you basically did a levelized price per acre, and that's how you got down to your $300 basically. But land doesn't sell that way. Land sells, you know, the first acre is the most valuable and each succeeding acre is less valuable. So, but your property has special circumstances. So,
well, when I sold it, it was all together.
Yeah. And yeah. Understand.
I didn't subdivide it and make it a separate thing. That was done by the PUD and the public utility. I would like to put it back into my whole property and have it all
consolidated back into the whole, right?
But at the same time, it's under open space. I'm 73 years old. I'm out there changing hand lines and changing that water. I've only got maybe 5 more years that I'm going to be able to manage and take care of that property.
Okay.
And I'm looking at, if I put it back in with the other, I'm putting it back into open space, which is a minimum of 10 years to leave it in, or else I'm fined terribly when I go to sell it later.
Right, having to pay all the back taxes,
You
right?
guys should understand that, because I mean,
Yeah, we do.
dealing with that all the time. So I really don't want to put it back into open space, you know, because I'm going to be, it's going to make it hard and costly for me to sell that again later. And I'm within 5 years of having to quit that farming and sell the farm, you know, I can't
Right, right.
hang it myself. So that's not a good option for me. I'd rather keep it separate. You know, I got one thing. I look at, I went through all these properties that's in the, you know, that
comparison.
Brad Elliott put together on this thing. And you've got, in going through those, these are building lots. And I've ran copies and I've got pictures, but you know, that's got houses on them. These are all building lots. That compared to two. There is one lot, and it was brought out in the affidavit on this, you know, for value and whatnot thing. And it was a
drainage area kind of.
Yeah, it's part of that Hogue Cellars. It was the number six that was done. It was
no.
Number six. It sold for $5,000. But if you go further into that thing and you pull up what they really assessed it for, and the county assessed it for $960, even though it sold for $5,000, and the date of the sale was, I think it's only like two years ago or so.
Okay.
Well, you do the math.
Yeah, we really can't compare assessed sales to assess. We can't really compare assessments to assessments.
This is farmland. It's not a building lot. And that's the only non-building lot in all these comparisons.
Okay, let's tell you what. Let's at this point, let's hear from the assessors, and then we'll kind of circle back, if that's okay.
Okay, as long as I can circle back. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, we'll circle back. Okay, so who's presenting?
I'm presenting.
Okay.
So what we did was we provided a list of cells. We have 13. We're bracketing the subject, so we're going to have a little bit larger ones and a lot of different style ones to kind of show what the value is, because obviously there's not a lot that are exactly the same as this one. The land sales are anywhere from, we have 73 cents to $10.43 per square foot. We're at 64 cents for this property. We're really valuing this as a little scrap of wasteland, basically, and $2,390. If it was buildable and had a lot of other things it was able to do, then yeah, we would value it a lot more than that. That is $1.85 to $2.39 per square foot less than the mean and the median. We're putting down that the closest location is 1 and 2. Cell 1 also has power lines going through it. The most comparable we're saying is cell 6. It's cell 6 is a triangle lot, and due to its shape, it's has a lot of unusable land because it's comes down to a plane. And the closest in size is cell 10, and that is also a triangle lot, and it was under question whether it was even landlocked or not. So we're also valuing it from its site development. Just to develop a site like this, you got to have just a couple of things. We have quite a few things, but I just looked up a couple of things. You got to have like the survey costs and all that. And right now for a survey cost, according to Angie's List in this area, the minimum is going to be 50 cents per square foot. It also has power to the location, and the power connection, I talked to Bitten PUD, and they said, and I just asked a real rough question. I asked for a rough estimate on the cost associated with connecting a lot to the power grid with no existing power She said that if it's in a good location, right next to one of their power poles, that a minimum amount would be $2,500. And it does have power. It has that. If you look on the picture, it does have a light there.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Well, from what I can understand, this property has some very unique features that I'm not sure is represented in your comparable sales. First of all, it's sitting entirely on an easement, right? So you can't build on this property. The land is sterile. I'm not sure that's, so you can't really use it for agricultural at the current time. It has power lines running underneath of it. So you really can't do much with it. So
that's,
and what, oh, go ahead.
Well, that's why it's valued at $2,390.
Well, then there's the other factor. I've been told by you guys on multiple occasions that the best comparable sale for a property is its own sale, right? And it was sold in March for $1,340.71, or excuse me, April, I guess it was. So why isn't that the price?
Certainly it's your decision to make, George, as the board. You know, it would be good to know a little bit more about the sale. The owner said that it was a market sale and it was offered on the open market. But in the end, we have basically valued as a piece of wasteland, and that, but it has, there is some potential there and there are some costs, and it really is a minimum cost. And
but potential, I don't see the potential. You're talking like you need power and other things, but that would be to construct something there. But you can't construct something there because it's on an easement, and you can't have, you know, it's got power lines above and below it.
Well, if it was a buildable lot and you could build on there, I mean, looking at the comparables that are comparable builder's lots, they're in the $60,000 to $100,000 range.
Right, I understand that.
So,
but this is what, 6/10 of an acre or something like that.
Yeah,
I mean, this is the most town.
But we do see that there are some costs involved with just setting a parcel up, and you know, if someone was to have some additional land, that because some of those development costs have already been absorbed, you could just do a boundary line adjustment. And true, you'd have to, there are some inputs there. You'd have to do, there'd have to be some more land, and then you could have this pretty valuable asset.
Right.
So we are trying to recoup that, but you know, the sale, you know, if it's a market sale, then that should be considered too.
Yeah. Is there any way you can look up what the county or electric
PUD
company at, when they put it up for sale, they had to do it publicly? Can you see what they listed that as?
Yeah, we haven't been able to find what they listed.
What's that?
We were not able to find what it was listed at.
Oh, okay. That would.
I don't know if it was an auction or if it was a closed bid auction or if there was just an offer made. I'm not really sure.
Do you know, Mr. Barnett, what they had listed it at publicly and such?
Yes, I do. They wanted to put it together as a direct sale. For them to do it publicly, they would have had to do a soils analyzation of the property because of the transformers and stuff that was on it. They was concerned that they might have leaked, and they would have contaminated soils. And they knew of all the chemicals that's been put on the prop on the soils. And they were scared if for them to sell it, they would have to come in and remove all of the soils out of that area and replace it basically to get through the hazardous waste thing, end of it. And they estimate their cost would be in the range of around $20,000 to do that. And therefore, they did not want to sell it. I had to petition the board with Benton PUD in order to buy it. And if you look in that sales agreement that I supplied, it is very specific that no soil analyzation has been done on it. I am fully responsible for doing it and taking care of the property and of any contamination that might be on it. The only reason I did this is because I lived right there. I know there wasn't any oils that was leaked out of those transformers. I watched as they did it for the last 50 years. I've owned land all around it. And I walk by it almost daily as I change my irrigation in that area. So I knew what was there. I knew more than the PUD knew about the property. But at the same time, I also knew it was loaded with salt, and I know it was loaded with sterilant for years. That's why nothing grows on it. I'll have to remove that gravel and probably haul dirt up in there. But I do have the tractors, the front end loaders, and I do have a scraper that I can do it with. And I've got some driveways. I can probably put some of that gravel on, you know. But I can do it myself. If the county, the Benton PUD came in and did that, they would have to pay prevailing wage to get all that work done at a very high rate. I can sit here and do it in my spare time as I'm retired, and I do have the equipment to do it. So, yes, I paid a higher price for it than I probably should have. And they came up with the price on it, in which they had to come up with that price that would be over what they considered market value for that property. Okay. They couldn't have sold it individually to me without going through a public sale.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything further from the assessors at this point?
Well, it sounds to me like he got a discount since he knew the property. It would have cost more for it to have gone through all the things. I don't know. It just seems
it sounds like he paid more than what Ben PUD thought was market value.
Well, they would have had to do a bunch of extra work onto it and tests and everything, which would have cost made the value more.
Right, which is why they were willing to sell it to him and let him assume the risk. But
yeah, if it would have been open market, though, it would have been cost more to develop, to put it together.
What could you ever do with the property? Yeah. Tell me.
Tell us what you could do with it.
We, well, with the boundary line adjustment, you could make it into a buildable lot.
How?
It, you can't assume that you're going to take that other property around it out of open space and pay those penalties of open space to take it out of it, so you'd have a buildable lot. You're assuming way too much.
You're making assumptions that aren't even realistic. Not for us, that's, anyway.
You know, that's cost of developing a lot is really, really high, and so a lot of that development work has already been done. So what we're saying is that we have a nominal value on it. I mean, we are talking about $2,300. I mean, I don't have $80,000-$90,000 on it, but yes, with some more inputs, it could be done. And is that an assumption? Yes, but that's an assumption from 20 years experience, seeing how much it costs to develop lots.
Power line, even if you could build it.
High voltage
power line.
You wouldn't even want to be near that. That's got a hum off those transformers right adjacent to you.
There are thousands of houses in close proximity to those power lines. I mean, right there, right below the Hills Manufactured Home Park, right below that in Queensgate, there's someone with that same high tension power lines, Bonneville power lines, and he built duplexes all around it, townhomes.
Okay, that's a large enough lot to where the house was completely out of the easement.
True.
And you've got that down there, you know, you got that down there as what, $1.50 a square foot, you know, on that property, like on number two there. And that's the one that's under with the power line on it. That's why it's discounted so much. But it had its own well, it had its own septic tank, it had power already into it. It had a lot of development. That had a house on it. The house right now has been torn down and they're developing that lot to sell it right now. It's a developer that bought that.
Which lot is this?
There's old house. But
that's not even
and that's not next to those transformers. That's a half a mile away from where the transformers. You get up there where that lot is under that we're talking about. That's just adjacent, right next to those big transformers, and they hum.
There, additionally, there are industrial and commercial uses that don't need water, they don't need power. And in the end, this is a nominal value, $2,390. You know, this is not being sold. I mean, this is not being, we're not saying that this is a buildable lot as it sits today.
But you've compared it to buildable lot.
No, we compared it to a range of properties. None of those are buildable. The buildable lot that's the closest to you sold for $60,000, 66, and then sold again this year for $82,000, $82,500, just around the corner from you. This is nowhere near a buildable lot. This is 40 times less than a buildable lot.
Mark, do you have a map that you can show us exactly where this property is located?
Sure.
And what, I mean, do you see Benton City actually moving in that direction or where?
Well, there are all kinds of residential and commercial uses in that area. But I do see development moving in that area. And the reason, I mean, certainly, if this had a deed restriction on it that said, hey, this is never can be developed, but then we would value it as at no value at all. If there was something saying that, hey, we can't ever do anything with this, but that's really the only thing we're valuing it as. We're valuing it as a small piece of land that with some more inputs could be worth some money. I mean, if it was, if I was a developer or real estate speculator, you could take that lot. And yes, that would require some land that's, you know, on the additional lot. And I assume that the owner in 5 years is, you know, this is an investment property, a property that its highest and best use is to chop it up into lots. Look what is around there. And yes, I can share my screen with you and you can see what is there.
The problem
right now, my screen is pixelated for some reason. Okay, there it came back. Okay.
Is under easement to Bonneville Power. It cannot, even if it was a part of something that you plotted out and subdivided, that property cannot be used for anything, not only by us, but by anybody else.
But where is there some deed restriction that says it cannot be used?
Yes, there sure is.
Bonneville
I got out here. I got a text from Bonneville that just came in just now as we've been sitting here from Bonneville because I was talking to him just prior to coming into this meeting. All the easements and restrictions of that property.
Certainly, if you'd share that with us, that's some pretty important. I mean, read them into the record.
We can email it to you if you give us an email.
Certainly, on the assessor's website, there's that, and we can attach those to the record for the future. But for today, the board members need to know of those restrictions. If there are additional restrictions, we only have what we have in the record. If there are additional restrictions, we're more than happy to apply those restrictions to the valuation. But George, is the screen shared?
Yes, I see a overhead picture of the property.
So here's the subject property that we're talking about that you can see the gravel pad right there.
Yeah, the postage stamp, yeah.
And you can see the high tension power line right there.
Right.
And it's going towards the substation. So yes, there are high tension that It was never, we don't consider this a buildable lot, but you'll see the uses that are around there. And you see this lot that is surrounding the subject, that's really
open space area.
Land around there that's not been chopped up. The lot that I showed you right here, this lot right here that my cursor's on, I'm trying to get it to.
Okay, I see some
sales. In 2022, it sold for $63,000. In 2024, it sold for $82,500. You know, like I said, we have this valued 40 times less than that.
Right. Now, how large is your overall property without that?
39 acres.
39 acres. Okay.
Every side.
Right. So, I mean, at some point, as you said, maybe in 5 years or whatever, longer perhaps, you might then sell it, and some developer might come in and try and do something with it. So, but that's all speculation. So as of today, we're looking at that. Now,
that's why you reassess every, what, 4 years?
Well, every year they actually reassess. They do it's physically inspected every 6 years, and in the interim 5 years, they do a statistical revaluation. So,
yeah.
But I don't know if you heard that part I was telling the assessor, though. I mean, a key factor in property is how like they were showing, these were surrounding properties that they sold for, you know, this, that, and the other. But your property also sold, right? A few months after the assessment date for the $1,340.71. I mean, that is a market value, right? So that's something the board will have to consider.
I would like to bring up another point. And that was my Exhibit C that I had in the original. And that's where when we went to file our quick claim deed or whatever it was on, you know, from Benton PUD with the assessor. And that's where the assessor wrote back and says, the Benton County Assessor's Office is in receipt of the quick claim deed that was recorded on 5/3/23. That's when I bought it. Yeah. Unfortunately, we are unable to process your request currently. The deed contains discrepancies in the legal description and will need to be corrected and re-recorded. The full legal description for the parcel is included. If you zoom in on the picture that you got on the screen right now, you'll see that little square within the larger square, which is the property that we're talking about. That's the legal description for that little square within that. Yeah, see the square just around it. That little square within the rectangle. That little square was the only thing they subtracted from my acreage for the last 39 years that I've been paying property tax. I've been paying the property tax, everything outside of that circle for 39 years because they didn't record that sale properly that would have taken that land out of my land. So for 39 years, I've been paying the property tax on what is that? 2/3 of that area? It's just, this whole thing's absurd.
Okay, I think we understand your position.
I never had to refile this. They straightened it out because I gave them the date and when that property sold, and then they said, "Oh, yes, we got that." And I talked to a Brandy with the assessor, and Brandy called me back and says, they found where the added area should have been recorded from 1974, and they straightened it out, and everything is okay. And then when I got my new assessment, they took in the Another part of my entire deal on this, that would be, I'm looking for the square, the little deals where those cards that I get that says how many acres I have.
Right.
What the assessed value is, my notifications. No, I have it. No, it's right here.
Well, it's in your attachments. Yes, we have it.
So basically in 2023, they had 3.5600 acres. And then in 2024, they reduced it to 39.5083. So they took that 0.06 acres off of it in the 2024 taxes on when it would be payable in 2024. They took that off. But if you go back 2023 and the prior 49 years, the prior 49 yeah. years, you'll see that I've been paying the taxes on 2/3 of that area.
Right. We don't deal with taxes. We just deal with valuations.
Yeah, so. But I'm saying let's look at what's right.
But it's part of the problem.
It's part of the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I'm sitting here and I'm so upset.
Well, you could go talk to the who would it be, the treasurer or whoever is the tax person and make your case there. But I think the board understands your position at this point. So anything further from the assessor?
Yeah, if you could forward that to us, our email is on the website. And we have your contact information. If you don't send it to us, we'll follow up with you so that we can have those deed restrictions recorded into the permanent record. That's good information for us to have. You know, we only have what people give us, so, and anything that's recorded. So, you know, we certainly would love that input. Thank you.
This okay. is public record through Bonneville Power Administration also.
Right, but if you have documentation that...
documents, yes.
Okay, could you send that to the assessor?
Yes.
So they'll have it for their records?
So, George, I'd like us to get it so we can consider it too. So I'd ask Maricel to give them the email address.
If they've got it, just let them copy it. Better copy.
Well, can you read it? Can you read it to us?
It's on. Okay. It's a little lengthy.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of.
It's a little lengthy.
But it speaks to the inability to build on it. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it does. Yeah.
I mean, I would like to hear it. I think it's important if it's lengthy or not. I think it should be read into the record. That's why I asked before for it to be read into the record. Yeah.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah, let's read it.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead and read it.
It's multiple pages. Let me find the part where it says.
Sideways.
Marisol, are you going to read it in?
Yeah, I'll read it out loud. It's just, it's multiple pages. So do you guys want me to read all the pages or?
Well, whatever speaks to the restrictions.
Okay.
Could be that highlighted one on the next page.
I do think, George, we could agree as the assessor's office, I think we could agree And I do, you know, you know, if that's the easiest way, and you guys, the board members, you can decide, but it's acceptable with me. I mean, I would like the information. I would like you all to have the information when you make the decision. I mean, I'm just trying to be reasonable.
Okay. Mary, is it something you can copy and email it to us?
I'll have him email everything to the assessor sent to the BOE.
And then we can forward it as soon as we get it. If we get it in 10 minutes, we'll send it to you in 10 minutes.
Is it something you could scan, Marisol, and email?
It's an attachment.
It's an attachment, so all I have to do is just send it to you.
Okay, yeah, just go ahead and send it to all of us.
I mean, we're just trying to be reasonable.
It's this one right here, yeah.
Yeah. Here.
Is it assessors?
Yeah, it's like let me look it up and I'll read it to you here. Just take me 1 second.
He's gonna do it right now.
I'm being careful because there's a Benton County in Oregon. I don't want you to send it.
Yeah.
We actually had, it's funny, but we've had people apply. They thought they were applying for Benton County assessor in Oregon, and they were applying with us. So I'm just trying to make sure here.
You want to hit the send email?
So there's something that says send email.
Yeah, it is assessor at co.benton.wa.us. So assessor at, sorry, it switched on me. Assessor at co.benton.wa.us.
Okay. Okay, it was sent.
I haven't even had a chance to look at this myself. It just came in as we're sitting here because I was talking to him on the phone.
Yeah, I would certainly like to see it. I certainly would like to see the board to have that information on the specific deed restrictions that are there, because until you said something, I had no idea that there were any deed restrictions. And deed restrictions, gentlemen, they convey with the property forever.
Correct. Yes, that's right.
So if there are deed restrictions, that's not something that can be, you know, that specific instrument, they can't be undone.
Yeah. I haven't received it yet, Marisol. Have you? Did you send it to all of us?
If she sent it to the assessor, it has to go through the assessor. So it'll go to Danielle. And then as soon as she sends it to me, then I can send it to you.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Our reception probably isn't very good in here.
It sounded like a scent.
Did it? Sorry, she had to. Because lots of times in these buildings that.
This is together with right to clear said parcel of land and keep the same clear of brush, timber, structures, fire hazards provided, however, the words fire shall not be interpreted to include growing of crops. They have the right to come in and remove all that, any structures, fire hazards, trees.
And, well, that's typical with an easement, yeah.
But that's what it says in this easement, yeah. that they can top, limb, or fall any growing trees, dead trees, danger trees. It goes into the whole, yeah.
I mean, that's just typical language for an easement, I think.
Yeah, that's all that.
But there's nothing about you can't build on it or anything.
And this is dated 1949, by the way.
Well, Peter, it's like a typical easement, right? You can build on it, but if they have the need to access the land underneath, they have the right to remove the building.
Hmm. Okay.
Well, but this says you can't even build it.
We can't even build, yeah.
We can't even build it. Yeah. We can't do anything under it.
That has been enforced in this area quite a bit.
You could raise a crop if the ground wasn't sterile. That's the only thing we could do. Except the ground is sterile.
Yeah.
So my question is, but it doesn't specifically say you can't build on it.
Probably going to have to read it at length, probably more than once to kind of get into it and see. I'll certainly look at it and maybe highlight but I
think it's probably one of those negative type things. You can build on it, but they have the right to remove the building if they need to access the land or underneath of it. So, I mean, as a practical matter, that means you really wouldn't want to build it or put any kind of structure with any value on it. I mean, you could put up a, you know, a small shed or something like that that wouldn't be a big deal if you had to, you know, remove it, but you're not going to build a house on it, for instance. Okay, well, I think we've got as much out of this as we're going to get. So any further comments from either side?
No, thank you.
Mr. Barnett, anything further?
I think we've gone over things a number of times here already.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Well, Marisol, let's adjourn the hearing and then we will deliberate.